A1.
Number 15B.
Well, in this way you can see that the definition of God indicates this divine infinite calculus, where the 7 and the 4 are combined into one great system. So that thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. Now, having stated this fundamental system, I want to go a step further and begin to see that when we have stated something in its system, like in arithmetic the 10 and the 4, then we have to start combining the elements of the system. We combine the numbers with each other according to definite laws. We combine the 4. We combine an addition with a subtraction or a multiplication with a division. We combine and combine and combine. And that is rightly so, because we consider fundamentally the infinite. We consider the infinite realm of ideas. This realm of ideas cannot be put into watertight compartments of the 4 and the 7. We only use as a means to understand the infinite, we use these categories of the 4 and the 7. First, to put some order into our consciousness and to our thinking. But then, when we have done that, then we begin to combine them again. And so, the divine infinite calculus really is the combining, the constant combining in all its variation of these fundamental facts. And so let me just state, without explaining too much, this infinite combining or blending of the 7 and the 4. First, let me take the blending of the 7. You see, for instance, we speak about God as mind. But we have seen that God as mind expresses God in a certain way, in a certain characteristic way, like the creator, or like intelligence, or like power, or action. These are ideas of mind. But we have also seen that mind is always a synonymous term for God, and therefore mind can never be separated from all the other synonymous terms, from spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So that every idea of mind really in some way blends with spirit, with soul, with principle, with life, and truth, and love. And really, when we consider it, we can begin to realize that only then, really, when we are considering an idea of mind, say, in all its reflections of the other synonymous term, that only then really we get the true definition of that idea. So, fundamentally, you can see that in our practice, when really thinking metaphysically, we really should consider every idea in its blending with every other synonymous term, so that we can see that mind reflects not only mind, but that mind reflects also spirit, that mind reflects soul, that mind reflects principle, that mind reflects life and truth and love. And only by seeing these reflections, you see, we begin to realize the true nature of an idea. Let me take an example. We have said God is mind. And with that, for instance, we want to express that mind is the creator. God is the creator, expressed as mind, that mind is the only creator. Well, if we say that mind is the creator, we really are not yet quite sure about the whole identity, so to say, of the idea creator. What is this creator? What is the nature of this creator? And so by blending this idea with the other synonymous term, you arrive at the definition of creator, which is absolutely clear and unmistakable. Say, we go on and combine creator with an idea of spirit and say, yes, this creator is spiritual. And so we already know he's not material, it's not a material creator. We go on, say, to soul and see that this creator is sinless. So we know already that this creator is first of all spiritual and therefore sinless. Therefore he can never create anything which is not identical with God. But then you still don't know yet if this creator is a big man up in heaven, if he is a person. And so principle will show us that this creator is impersonal. We not yet know if this creator who is spiritual and who is not a person but impersonal, if he creates anything which is temporal, which has beginning and end. But when we combine it and say, but it also reflects life, then we know that this creator is a creator that is eternal, without beginning, without end, which is immortal, and its creation is immortal. Then we can still go on and see that that which he creates is of the nature of truth, therefore whole, healthy. And therefore, when we consider it also in the view of love, we see that this creator, who is spiritual, sinless, impersonal, who is immortal and eternal, who is whole, as a reflection of love, has fulfillment in himself, completion within himself. And so you see, only when we consider an idea of the infinite in all its blendings with all the seven other qualities of God, we really get the true identity of an idea. Then, when we have done that, there is no more any query about the nature and essence of such an idea, of the nature of such an idea. Yes. So, with this I have indicated, really, that we can see that we can blend the seven with the seven. In our terminology, we usually say mind reflecting mind reflecting spirit, mind reflecting soul, mind reflecting principle, mind reflecting life and truth and love. Then, in that way, and with mind you can take any idea of mind, in that way, really, we get the true identity of an idea. But we can also, like in arithmetic, blend a number with one or all four of the operations. So there is also a blending between the seven and the four. And this is what Mrs. Eddy has done. She has really shown that the seven synonymous terms really can be put in four different orders. Up to now, I was intentionally only speaking about that order of the definition of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But in the textbook, she gives these seven synonymous terms also in other orders. What is the meaning thereof? The meaning is this, that these seven synonymous terms can be stated in the four ways how they operate. The four. Therefore, they operate first as the Word of God. And so we have the word order of the seven synonymous terms. This word order is stated on page 465 of the textbook, namely in the question, what is God, and answer, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as we have seen. This is a specific order. It is a fundamental order, but a specific. Namely, it applies really only to the question, what is God? It applies to the seeker who wants to get a full understanding of the nature of God. Therefore, it is, so to say, a divine addition, where you start first with knowing what God's mind is, the Creator. Then, so to say, adding, it's not very nice, that word adding, but say from the point of the learner, it looks like that you add to the nature of God's mind, then the nature of spirit, then the nature of soul, of principle, of life, and truth, and love, and then you feel, now I have the whole Word of God, the self-declaration of God. So the Word of God gives us an expanding concept of what God is, a constantly expanding concept for the neophyte, the one who investigates what God is and gives us that expanding concept of God. And you can see that it is an expanding, creative sense of God, because it starts with mind, who is the creator, and ends with love, who is the fulfillment. So the whole range is given by the first and last, a synonymous term, by the creator, who reveals its nature step by step, until at the point of the last synonymous term, you have a fulfilled sense of it. Then there is the second side of the holy city, the Christ, which we also can state in the seven synonymous terms. And Mrs. Eddie does so on page 115, where she gives not the definition of God, but where in the scientific translation of immortal mind, she first states the point of view of God, how God translates himself to men. So you see, it's no more a question of getting an expanding sense of God, but the title already indicates that it is translating God to men. Quite a different office. It's the office of the Christ. The Christ that translates God to men. To idea. How is that done? How is that addition from God to men? That subtraction from God to men. How is that divine subtraction, so to say, operating? And so, the way the synonymous terms are given is different. Namely, it's stated as divine principle. It starts with principle. Divine principle, life, truth, and love. Then soul, spirit, mind. You see, it's another order. Why? Because the office is different than in the word order. The office is to show how God translates itself to the point of idea. So it starts with the divine principle of all ideas and ends with mind, which is always stating the manifestation of idea. Mind stands for that term of God when God expresses himself as the manifestation of idea. So how can the divine principle be manifested as idea? This is explained through the Christ order. Now what the order means exactly, and the sequence in it, this would go too far for me to explain now. This takes a course by itself. But we just want to state what the science of Christianity is. Then we have the third side of the holy city, Christianity, which deals with the spiritual realm of the real, with the spiritual universe, with the spiritual meaning of the universe. with creation. And so we find here again that the synonymous terms, when they try to explain Christianity in its ordered sense, are put in another sequence. We find that sequence in the glossary of the textbook on page 587, where God is interpreted, not defined, as in recapitulation. In the glossary, the question is not, what is God? The glossary, as we see from its introduction to the glossary, does not want to define God, but wants to substitute a spiritual definition for the material definition, giving, so to say, the spiritual sense of Bible terms. There we find really the spiritual interpretation of biblical terms, and so gives there really the Christianity sense of things, how we should look at them, what nature we can attribute to a symbol. And so the order there is again different. It's principle, then mind, then soul, spirit, life, truth, love. And the interesting thing is that these synonymous terms are separated from each other by a semicolon, not by a comma, as in the other orders, showing really something which is very unique to Christianity and which I cannot explain really at this moment extensively enough. It just shows, you see, that each synonymous term here closed the idea man in its wholeness. And Christianity really is the divine multiplication, so to say, where we begin to see that the idea man is closed always with the whole of mind. Then with the whole of any synonymous term. And so gives a sense that man reflects always the whole of God. Finally, there is a fourth order in being, namely the fourth side of the holy city, which is science. Science which states the divine being in its isness, therefore never as a developing sequence as in the world order, never as a translating sense from God to man, but states being as a whole in one. And so it is very difficult really to define in words or print in words this science order. The Bible has seen that long ago and therefore has chosen a wonderful symbol to define this science order, namely the candlestick, that great symbol of the Jews, the one of the holiest symbols of the Jews. That candlestick has a middle shaft, and from that middle shaft go out on each side three branches, and they reach all one level, and on that level these seven, the six branches plus the middle shaft, totally seven, have seven flames or lights. So that on the top, really, we have again an order, so to say, of seven, like in the definition of the word, but they don't mean seven lights which one leads to the other, but they are all held together in the central shaft of principle. So that really, as Mrs. Eddy says, the term which expresses all the synonymous terms is principle. And the candlestick shows in symbolization, really, that principle, from principle, go out all the other six synonymous terms, holding them together in one, really. And not as, so to say, as a sequence, but seven in one. And so the science order can best be symbolized through that candlestick. Or we could take the definition of God as given on page 465 and look at it from the middle point of principle, where we would look at it from the symbol of the candlestick, and just see that this principle has on each side, combined with each other, soul and life, and afterwards combined through the second branch, spirit and truth, and combined through the outer branch, mind and love. And this is really the science order. I've just given you a picture. I can't explain it to you. It would take me too much time, and it wouldn't be within the range, really, of this introductory class. But what I want to show and point out is just to say, to show that the textbook really is scientific. You see, these four orders have been revealed in biblical times long ago. They are not something new. Mrs. Eddy has not invented them. She has discovered them in the Bible. And if you read, for instance, Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, you will see that his whole book is first a presentation of the seven synonymous terms in the word order, then the seven synonymous terms in the Christ order, then the seven synonymous terms in the Christianity order, and then the seven synonymous term in the science order. That's Zechariah, the old prophet, that young man, that the youngest of all prophets, who has had that scientific sense of being. Or you see the same thing in the first epistle of John. First epistle of John again shows first the word order through the seven, then the Christ order through the seven, then the Christianity order through the seven, and then the science order through the seven. And so also I could say the four Gospels, who have one subject, namely the Jesus Christ, to show what is true Christianity as demonstrated by Jesus. Why four Gospels? Why not one? There are four Gospels because they could see that this being, which was expressed as a living Christianity, can be viewed from four sides. And so Matthew gives this whole life story of Jesus and his teaching in the word order, through the seven synonymous terms, built up through the seven in the word order. Mark shows that same story from the point of view of the Christ, showing it through the order of the Christ. Then Luke shows the very same problem again, from the point of view of Christianity, and shows therefore the same thing in the Christianity order. And John, that scientific thinker, shows the whole Christianity sense again from the point of view of science, and builds up his whole message in the science order. And so the four Gospels together again give us a perfect picture of these four orders. So you see, what we are stating here is something which has been revealed to biblical writers thousands and thousands of years ago. We just had to discover it.